Okay. There's a very interesting tshuva in Rav Moshe. Tshuva was written in 1955. At least my imagination leads me to think that the situation of the tshuva was probably quite common in that time. There are two brothers who were not learning in yeshiva. They were in business. I imagine 1955, that was typical. Perhaps it was 10 years after World War II. It was 10 years after World War II, so I imagine they probably didn't even have the opportunity. However, their youngest brother, he was already, in a sense, being brought up in a new generation, and he was in yeshiva. And the two other brothers were proud of their brother learning, and they figured, well, right now he's a bachur, but perhaps in a few years, he's going to want to get married, and as is becoming the style nowadays, maybe he's going to be one of those few people that goes to Cairo. And if that's the case, he's going to need money to support himself. So, we're two brothers, we're already working, we already have a business. We'd like to help him out. However, they had a chiddush. They wanted to start giving him staka even before he was in Cairo, 2 years beforehand. They figured they'll start saving money now, they'll create a fund, the money will accumulate, and by the time he's ready to sit and learn, there'll be enough money to keep him going for a few years. So they wrote Rav Moshe a question, could they do this? Should they do this? So there's two parts to this question, there's two aspects. The first aspect is it staka? Is this itself staka? This thing giving him money to learn before he gets married, and that Rav Moshe really doesn't spend much time on, and we'll just say over a few points of that. The second question is going to be, how does this staka fit in terms of the broader picture of all the other stakas that he has? And that Rav Moshe does spend quite a while on. Okay, first of all, he's in the Shabbat, he praises them. He says it's a davar tov. He seems to be very happy with this idea that they want to take their money, which would have gone to other tzedakas, and they want to set it aside for somebody learning, for the brother learning. Secondly, he says, you might have a question, can you give money for somebody learning, somebody, or in the other way, somebody learning, can he accept money to learn? So he says, that's already yalacha in yardeya resh mem vav, sif chat aleph. That you're allowed, even a healthy person, the Ramah says, is allowed to, nowadays, is allowed to accept staka in order that he could learn. Otherwise, he wouldn't be able to. Secondly, he says, well, let's say somebody's collecting money because, for when he's going to be married, because he needs money in order to get married, he needs money for the expenses to be married, but he's not even engaged, he doesn't even have a shidduch. So he says, that's also fine, that's also not a problem, because he needs the money in order to get the shidduch. Right, so this, in a sense, this is a tzarech that he has right now, it's a need that he has right now to have money in order that he could get married. Then he says, what happens if you save up enough money that the person already has accumulated a sum? And we know if a person already has Messiah's goods, if he already has an amount of money that can last for a year, he's not called a nani, he's not a poor person. So maybe once they accumulate enough money, he's no longer a nani, and there's no longer a need to give him staka. So that Rav Moshe is mechadish, but that's also not a problem at all. Because why? What's the reasoning for Messiah Mezuz? Because that's the expenses that a person has throughout a year. If he was a Messiah Mezuz, throughout a year a person will be able to support himself. But let's say a person would know that he's going to have extraordinary expenses, whatever they may be. So then the Messiah Mezuz is not a fixed in stone, it's not a rigid rule. It's just a way of saying you need enough to live for a year. And this person has big expenses, he needs much more. So Messiah Mezuz would not apply. And the last thing he says is that it wouldn't be enough for these two brothers simply to save the money on their own, but what they have to do is today they have to actually the money has to leave their rishus, they have to leave their possession. So the best thing to do is to give it to the brother now, even though it's 2 years before he's even going out, before he's even dating. Right? But if you give the money now, that'll be stuck up for when he goes into Cairo. Let's say they don't trust their brother, maybe he's going to change his mind, he's also going to go into business. So they should put it into a bank in a fund. So that takes care of the first issue. Is this a tzedakah? And the Rashi says, yes, it is a tzedakah, and if the davar tov, he recommends it. Second question is more problematic. Second question is, okay, it's a tzedakah. We'll grant you that it's a tzedakah. But you know, there are people that need money here today. There are people right now that need food. You're worried 2 years from now, maybe he'll find a shidduch, he's going to want to sit and learn. Who knows what can happen by then? But today there's somebody knocking on your door and he needs food. So the truth is, there's a precedent for this type of thinking. So Lachan Shulchan Aruch Yodei Reishin and Aleph Sif Zayin. Chayev Adam Mahachil HaRav Malach Tasa'aram. We're not talking about a Pekuach Nefesh situation, but somebody's coming for food. He needs food. It's not Pekuach Nefesh. It's not a dire situation, but he wants something to eat. There's another Ani right next to him. He says he needs clothes. Also doesn't mean the Kanievsky speaks out. Doesn't mean that he's mamish aram, that he doesn't have any clothes at all, but his clothes are worn, he wants something a little bit better. So you have a choice. One person needs food, one person needs clothes. So befer shalach and shulchan aruch, that you're supposed to give it, you're supposed to give your tzedakah money to the one that needs food, assuming you only have enough for one. You only have tzedakah for one person. The one that needs food gets first. Now, what's the source for this? So Ramesh is going to say, you see from this, that when you give tzedakah, you have to consider the needs of the person. Right? You can't just give to whoever you want, but you have to see who needs it more. So too, says Rav Moshe, in his question anyways, that if you look at these two people, one person needs tzedakah right now today, and the other person doesn't need for another 2 years, so the one that needs today obviously needs it more. That's more of a pressing need. And based on this halacha, perhaps the halacha should be, he should get first. How do you know? What's the source that you have to give the person food over the person for clothes? The Vilna Gaon brings down the Yerushalmi Hurriyot, says like this. The Yerushalmi says, if you have two people, one is the wife of a Talmud Chacham, and she wants clothes. Okay, so you have the wife of a Talmud Chacham, and she wants a nice coat. And you have an Amma Arts, somebody does not know how to learn, and he wants food. Right, he needs food. So the Yerushalmi says, the halacha is, you give the clothes to the wife of a Talmud Chacham. Why? Because of the covet of a Talmud Chacham. Okay, because she's married to a Talmud Chacham, it's a covet for the Talmud Chacham, his wife should be dressed well. So therefore, the clothes come first. Says the Yerushalmi, Vaitais, it would appear, that's only because she's the wife of a Talmud Chacham. But let's say just a regular person comes by and says he wants clothes, and he wants to take precedence over the person that comes food. It's not true. The person that gets food gets first. That's one source. Why is it? Why is it that the person gets food comes first? Says the Beis Yosef, they're pashut. That's all. He just says, it seems obvious. He doesn't really explain it. He also brings the Gemara. Then he says, maybe you could say it's a Gemara in Bava Basra. It says that if somebody comes to you and he wants to, he's collecting money because he needs clothes, so Baikin, you can look into the person, you should get a bag, whatever it is, and you check his credentials. You see whether he's a rabbi, whether he's a thief, whether he's a con artist, or he's legitimate. But if somebody's coming from Mazanus, if somebody's coming for food, then ain't Baikin, then you don't check. That's the basic idea. If apparently you see that one, if somebody's coming for food, it's a pressing need, you should take care of it immediately, you shouldn't delay. If somebody's coming for clothes, you can take your time a little bit. So too, if the two of them are in front of you, the person that needs clothes, you shouldn't delay, you should get immediately. Okay. The Chassam Sofer brings in Hafla from his Rebbe Hafla, a different source. So far, really, these are just proofs that the person, that pressing need, gets it. But nobody really said a source. The Chassam Sofer brings in Hafla and brings a source. This is a free impression for A. And the truth is, it's really Rashi and Chumash. It says, Ki yibcha avyon, if you have by you a person who's destitute, so then it goes on to detail the halachas of tzedakah. Says Rashi, Toiv Toiv Kaidem, the one that needs more, he's the one that gets first. Says Mefarish Rashi, that a person who needs more gets more than a person who needs less. And perhaps it's a little bit of a kasha. Why didn't they bring down this sifri? Right, it's the Beferish Sifri, it's the Beferish Rashi, and they ignore it. And we're going to see, you can't say they didn't have the Sifri, because we're going to see later on that they caught the next line after the Sifri. Okay? So, that's the question. Now, so we have over here, though, that pressing needs, whatever the source is, if there's a pressing need, he comes first. So granted, giving this younger brother money for tzedakah is a very legitimate cause. After all, he has to sit and learn. However, there's going to be a problem that you're ignoring all these other people who right now need tzedakah, who right now have pressing needs. So I recently met a guy from Manchester by the name of Diane Berger Shlita. And I asked him, I said, how would you approach this question if you have this question in front of you? So he said, well, the way he would approach it is like this. It's true that there's a din kadima, we give priority to a person who has a pressing need. However, there's other din kadima. We know that there's also a halacha that a karev comes first. If you have to give tzedakah to a relative or to another person, so you give to a relative. So now we have two sets of priorities in conflict. We have one set of priorities to look at the actual tzedakah, look at what the need is. We have another set of priorities. Well, a karav and ach is a very close relation, and a relation comes first. Which one is the stronger one? Which one takes precedence? Okay? And he didn't paskin, but he said that would be his initial approach to this shayla. Okay? Where we see that a karav comes first? It's a lacha yaradei, a ration aleph tif gimel, that it says that if somebody gives to his children, that he no longer is required, they're old enough that he's no longer required to support them. So then he's doing it in order to teach them Torah, in order they should go in a proper way. So actually the Moshe says this doesn't apply so much nowadays, but, or he's giving parents to his father perhaps. So he says that's called tzedakah. It's a situation, whatever the situation is, that you're giving either to your son or to your father, that's called tzedakah. Not only is it tzedakah, but it's better to give him priority. By father, sometimes it says you shouldn't use tzedakah, it has to be b'derech kavod, but if that's the situation, the only way you could support him is through tzedakah, so he takes priority. Even if it's not his son, but not his father, but just any relative, you have to make him before any other person. So says Dain Bircher, maybe this priority of a relation comes before the need of a pressing need. Where do you know? How do you know that a relative comes first? So there's two sources. First one is the end of the Sifri that we previously mentioned. It's the same Sifri, and it says that from one of your brothers. So one, it says two Lashanas. It says Achad and it says Rachecha. So one is coming to tell you a brother from your mother's side, and one is coming to tell you a brother from your father's side. So you see that your relations come first. Vilna Gaon has other sources. Vilna Gaon brings down a ton of Veil Yahu, and brings the Pasuk in Yeshaya. It says, basically it says, M'psach Alot Hatalam. Dain Bircher mentioned the same source. It says you shouldn't, it's a Pasuk in Yeshaya, it's not a Pasuk in Chumash, that you should not ignore your flesh, you should not ignore your relations. So what does it say? If you have money and you want to give it to tzedakah, so first you should give to your father and your mother. And if you don't, and the next people, if you have left over, the next people to support is Achav V'Achirtav, your siblings. And if you still have left over, then you give B'nai Mishpachto, the rest of your relatives. And if you after you finish all your relatives, if you have left over, then you give to the people in your shchun, in your neighborhood, and then the greater neighborhood, and then the rest of Chai Yisrael. So it's a fee that these take first, these take precedence. What's the answer to this question? Which one comes first? Rav Moshe himself declares about it, and we're going to see the Chafetz Chaim also. Rav Moshe says, he says basically a similar lacha to we just had, that it says if you have a which Shami mentions, if you have a talmud chacham la'achsos, if you have a talmud chacham that needs clothes, na'am aretz ha'achios, and you have a na'am aretz who needs food, so the lacha is that the talmud chacham takes precedence. So it says Rav Moshe that only a talmud chacham takes precedence, but a karav. Apparently not. So therefore, Rav Moshe is suggesting he has a problem for these brothers, right? That the pressing need we see is unless the person is a Talmud Chacham, I guess this youngest brother was not yet qualified, that's what it seems like, so unless he's a Talmud Chacham, so then the pressing need is more important, you should have to give the people that need right now. The Svan brings down the Sefer Avos Chesed from the Chofetz Chaim, and he says, perhaps not. Perhaps is a Talmud Chacham, guess, but so to a Karav. Why? Because he brings in a Rebbe Akiva Eger that says that if you have a choice between a relation and a Talmud Chacham, which one gets first? So the one that gets first is the relation. So you see, a relation, a relative, is even greater than a Talmud Chacham. Is a greater priority than a Talmud Chacham. So if the lach is a Talmud Chacham, you only needs the clothes, and he takes precedence over a pressing need. So certainly, a relation will take precedence, and therefore the Chofetz Chaim suggests, it doesn't pass him, but he suggests that according to Rebbe Akiva Eger, it would appear that a relation is the better one to give to, and therefore they could give the younger brother. But the Chofetz Chaim himself is misukah, because he says there's a chsam cipher that says no, you're supposed to give the one that needs more. And therefore he says tarachin. Maybe the Chassam Sofer holds the Talmud Chacham greater than a relation. Or maybe not. Maybe the Chassam Sofer doesn't agree with this Kolshkein. The Chofetz Chaim doesn't really paskin. He doesn't really paskin this. It's very interesting. A number of Svarim bring down the Chassam Sofer as saying the exact opposite. a number of contemporary Sfarim that bring down the Chassam Sofer that he holds, that he holds, like the Chofetz Chaim originally said, that you give to the pressing, that you give to the you give to the relation, not to the pressing need. Seems to be a theme in Chassam Sofer. I looked it up, and I think really what's happening is like this. It depends who the relation is. If you're talking about B'nai Mishpachta, you're talking about your dependents, your children, so then they come before a pressing need. Your children, your family, your immediate family that depend on you for support, they come first. If you're talking about extended family, people that are not dependent on you, your siblings perhaps, right? You're a married man and you have siblings that are not dependent on you, or your cousins, your distant cousins, so then they come second. First you have to give the person that needs more. And he says it's over from his Rebbe to Hasba, and if you look it up inside, I think you'll see that it's very clear that this is Lalacha. He bases it on the Sifri that we mentioned before. And he says that you have to look at the pasuk very, very closely and look at the order. It says, Ki'i b'cha, if it is by you. It says the Sifri, by you and not others. By you and not others. It says the Afla, he dashes it a little bit extra. He says, by you and not others, by you includes your immediate family. Okay? So the first one mentioned in the pasuk is your immediate family, according to the Afla. What's the next word of the pasuk? Evyon. Evyon, he said, is Ta'ish Kaidan. The one that needs love, he comes first. So he says, first you look at B'cha. First you look at your immediate needs. Your own needs, the needs of your immediate family, those that depend on you. Second of all is Evyon. You look at the person who needs it the most. Okay, so immediately family comes first. Then the next words in the pasuk are Achad Mi'achecha, one of your brothers. And that includes all the relatives. So he says, that's really the third priority. Comes out, if we're learning this Chassam Sofer properly, comes out that the Chassam Sofer is like the Chofetz Chaim said, that the one that gets first is the one that has the pressing need, and not your brother. Right? So Rav Moshe says he has a problem with what are they going to do with these, with what can these people do? Can they give the younger brother? Okay. Says Rav Moshe a very big chiddush. He says like this. He wants to say that this that you're supposed to give the most pressing need, he says, is only true by a gabbai tzedakah. Okay, if somebody is in charge of community funds, so then he has the responsibility to the entire community to see that the funds are given out properly. Such a person is required to look at each ani and say which one needs it more. In fact, there's a halacha. That you need three people, similar to a bezin, when you're giving out community funds, it's like an entire kind of, and you need three people to decide which one gets it. Similar, and the Gemara says similar to dini maminus. Let's say somebody's giving out community funds, and his relative were to come by, so he's not allowed to give him precedence. He has to treat all people equally. So if you have two people with the same need, they both need the exact same thing. So the halacha would be, if you're dealing with community funds, you have to give them equally. Each ani has an equal right in the money. He says that's if you're dealing with money that's already tzedakah, that belongs to the tzibur. However, what about a person? A private person? He didn't give it. It's his own personal money. Says Rav Moshe, very big chiddush. In such a situation, you have the right to choose who you want. You're not mechuyev. You're not obligated to look at who needs it more. That's a very big chiddush of the Moshe. He bases it on a tesis by chala. What do we mean? It's a mitzvah to give chala to the kind. Normally, what you should do is you don't give the chala to an am aretz. You should give it to a kind who's a tamak chacham. Says tesis, what would be like this? What would be if your tamak chacham is wealthy, he has a lot of money, but your Amah Aretz, he's a poor person and he needs it now. So if you're dealing with Chalas Kutz La'aretz, which isn't really hektish, so Taisa says you have the prerogative, you're allowed to give it to the Ani. You're allowed to give it to the poor person. So he says as Moshe, we see from this that says the Moshe, we see from this that you also have the option, if you want, you can give it to the wealthy person. Right? You have a choice. Right? Even though you might think that this person is poorer and required to give it to him, So Rav Reisha says, still, you're allowed, you have the option, you can give it to the wealthy person. So he says, why is it? According to Halacha and Shulchan Aruch, you're always supposed to give the person that has the pressing need first. And if that's the case, you should be mechuyev to give it to the Amla Aretz, who's poor. So says Rav Moshe, you see from here, that when you're dealing with your own personal money, and it does not yet belong to Tzedaka, so you have a right to give it to whoever you want. You have a right to choose which person to give it to. And even if the person you give it to is a smaller need, you still wouldn't be allowed to do it. Apparently he understood like this. You have to look at it just a little bit closer. Apparently Rav Moshe understood that you would think that there's a priority to give the person that needs, not so much because of tzedakah. Apparently he understood it's similar to, like, you have two mitzvahs in front of you. You have a mitzvah of talis, you have a mitzvah of tefillin. You have to decide which one do I do first. So there's various columns. There's a cloud of kadab she'en or tadir tadir kadam. There's a cloud of ma'am b'kadish ma'am l'amidin. That when you have two mitzvahs in front of you and you have to decide, there's a new shulchan aruch of dini kadimis, of priorities, how to paskin. But as far as the mitzvah tzedakah is concerned, there's really no difference. They're both a mitzvah tzedakah. It says in Moshe, let's look at Matnas Kahuna. We can look at the mitzvah of challah. And we see over there, we have two mitzvahs. You can give a mitzvah to the kohen, you could do it to the Am HaAretz, right? You have two mitzvahs in front of you. So we say there's no priority, there's no rule that you have to give the one that needs it more. So too, when you have two anim in front of you, even though it's a different mitzvah completely, but there's no priority, there's no rule that you have to give to whoever you want. So Stanford says, Avasha, these brothers, since they don't have to give to the person that has the most pressing need, so to the contrary, they're supposed to give it to their relative. The best thing to do is to give it to the relative. And Moshe is a bit unclear. He says the priority of who needs more, that an individual doesn't have to concern himself about. However, the priority of a relative, that he does have to be concerned. It doesn't explain the difference. It doesn't explain why one do have to be concerned and why one not. In addition, there's many other priorities. We know Aniyei Eretz Yisrael come first, Aniyei Yerushalayim come first. Poor people in your own city come before poor people from another city. Before another city, does an individual have to concern himself with all these priorities that are in the middle, that are in between a karev and a pressing need? But Moshe doesn't say explicitly. I originally thought, perhaps I was mistaken. I originally thought that Rav Moshe was only coming to say you don't have to concern yourself with the needs of the ani. But all the other meaning, you don't have the actual tzedakah, the type of tzedakah. That's not something that you have to concern yourself. But if you're looking at the individual and you want to know which individual has precedence, such as a relation, such as which city he comes from, that Rav Moshe held would be a priority. That's what I thought. According to me, Rav Moshe is just a very specific chiddush in one particular halacha of giving to the army that needs the most. I showed this to Diane Berger, and he said, he's of Manchester, and he said no. He meant it up the exact opposite of me. He understood Rav Moshe to be saying that all priorities are not by an individual. Aniyei Ircha, Aniyei Yerushalayim, Kohen Yisrael. He thought that Rav Moshe was saying a broad, broad rule that all priorities are not relevant to an individual except for Karev. Perhaps this has to do with what the source is, with what the sources are. Meaning, what's the source for that we say that you give to an individual first? The person with a pressing need that needs to be fed, he needs to be first. The Beis Yosef just says it's a svara. So it could be, says Rav Moshe, that svara is a svara, but it belongs to the community. The money belongs to the community. All the niyim have a schus in that money. So then the svara, the one that has the greatest need, he has the greatest schus. But if it's an individual, there is no such svara. But all the other priorities, which are not a svara, which are learned out of the sifri, which are dashin, because it says me'echad achecha, so those are, or it says me'echad shorecha, people in your own city, those priorities remain. That was how I learned up. Diane Berger was the opposite. And apparently what he did is he learned like the Tana Devei Eliyahu. That it says that the source really to give the source really to give a person that has a pressing need is the same sifri that tells us that a relative is first. That says kihi baka evyon miachad achecha. So it says evyon means you look at the one who has a need. Miachad achecha means you look at the one who's a relation. So if you have one, you have the other. And it says miachad shorecha, you should look at which city it is. So all the priorities really come from the same place. So they really would all be not relevant. So why is it that a karav comes first? Because a karav has an additional source. Because he said from the Tanakh of Eliyahu, there's a pasuk in Yeshaya, "Mitzarcha lo tesalem." You shouldn't be concerned. You shouldn't be concerned you shouldn't ignore your brother. You shouldn't ignore your brother. So a karav, a relation, you have to be concerned about anyways. Said Dain Berger, according to his own understanding of Rav Moshe, he said he would feel that this Rav Moshe is too big of a chiddush to rely on. He challenged Rav Moshe. Why? Because according to his understanding, Rav Moshe is a very broad concept that sweeps across all the priorities of tzedakah. And nowhere is it mentioned by all these priorities that an individual is exempt from them. So he says, and you find for example, he gave specifically, he talked about a woman. You find if you have a choice to give a man or to give a lady, the halacha is you give a lady, because she'll be embarrassed to go collecting. So to save her from the embarrassment of going door to door, we give the lady first. You never find that an individual could give to the man. It simply says the Shulchan Aruch to give to the lady, and apparently that would apply both, that halacha would apply both to a gabbai tzedakah, to community funds, and both to individual funds. So he says, based on his understanding of Rav Moshe, it would seem to be that this Rav Moshe is a very, very big chiddush. However, perhaps if you were to learn the other way, which maybe is incorrect, but if you were to learn that Rav Moshe only meant to say that when you're looking at the actual tzedakah itself, you don't have to consider the needs of the person. But if you're looking at the person, if he's a karev, what city he comes from, if he's a talmid chacham, if he's a kohen, that Rav Moshe agreed, so then perhaps the chiddush of Rav Moshe is not so great. Rav Moshe says one more thing, which we're not going to go into detail, but he says like this, okay, it's true. There's a heter, we've worked out that there's a heter, you're allowed to give the brother, and you don't have to be concerned about other people. But he says there's another halacha in Shulchan Aruch. There's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that you shouldn't give all your tzedakah to one ani. You shouldn't give all your tzedakah to one ani. So he says, even though you're giving to the brother, but you should give to other people too. It shouldn't be exclusive. The truth is that Moshe himself is in doubt. Because if a shach that says, you shouldn't give to one relative and ignore all your other relatives. Okay? So let's say you have two brothers that are learning. You shouldn't give to one brother and ignore the other brother. That would be the shach. However, let's say you want to ignore a person who's not your relative. According to the Shah, you would be allowed to, right? Because a relative takes precedence. Just people of equal status, you can't give it all to one. But if you have a relative, and you have a person who's not your relative, according to the Shah, you could really give everything to your relative. But Moshe himself is in doubt. He challenges the Shah. He says, perhaps not. Perhaps you could give it to, perhaps you even in such a situation, you should give it. But either way, Moshe doesn't pass. He says, Sarachim, but he says, either way, even if the halacha would be that you're allowed to give the entire thing to your brother, he says you shouldn't do it. Why? Because one day somebody's going to come knocking on your door, he's going to have an appeal, perhaps, let's say, for the shul. And you're going to tell him, no, I don't want to give. He's not going to know, well, you're a big tzaddik and you asked Rav Moshe, and Rav Moshe said you should give it to your brother because your brother's good. He's going to say, he's a stingy person. He doesn't care about the shul, he's not concerned about the community, he's no good. In fact, maybe I shouldn't care about it either. Right, he might learn that from you, and he might say, you know, this person doesn't care about tzedakah. So Rav Moshe says it's very important that you should still have the appearance of a person who is community-minded, who does care about other aniyim, but you should make sure that a good percentage of your money does go to your brother. Shkar.